Welcome to the Scariest Things podcast. This is Mike Campbell. And today I have with us on the Scariest Things podcast a very super duper extra special guest who I am exceptionally excited to talk about, Ms. Diane Foster. Diane, thank you for joining us today.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm so excited to be here.
Yes. So I got to say, I saw the film last week and I got questions. I got so many questions. In particular, I guess let's just start right from the top. So the film we're talking about is Easter Bloody Easter, which is an awesome, awesome title. And I hope you didn't have to pay Black Sabbath for any publishing rights. But so we have, you know, there is a short but questionable list of previous Easter type films like Beaster Day, Bunny Man, Rotten Tail. I mean, they're few and far between. I don't know if you've seen any of these. So the big question is, why Easter?
I love that question. So yes. It really came from the idea that there really was not a lot in this lane. And right. We were very intentional with that, specifically for holiday horror comedy. And I wanted to make something for the holiday that people could watch with their families and they could enjoy and be taken away for an hour and a half and really laugh and enjoy themselves. Laugh, sing, scream along. You know, Easter is one of those holidays that, you know, you get together with your families and you do all kinds of different games and, you know, you're hiding Easter eggs and getting baskets. And we just thought this is the perfect situation to make things go absolutely wrong. So, yes. You know, we just love that when everything is so great and then it's just going to go so chaotic. So we really just knew that we were more or less in a lane for ourselves. And I think as an independent film, we felt like this was an opportunity for us to stand out amongst the other films, you know, specifically utilizing the holiday. Right. And yeah, so that's why we chose Easter. And we just thought it would be a lot of fun because of those elements, you know, of getting a large group of people together and then watching things go horribly wrong.
I love the fact that you highlight it as a family film, because it is a film that's transgressive, but just transgressive enough to be a little bit subversive. Was there any, I picked up, and you tell me if I'm wrong, but I picked up a little bit of John Waters in there, maybe, just in terms of like with an eye towards some of the hypocrisy of the church and an eye towards the hypocrisy of the sort of like the suburban one-upsmanship around the holidays. Is that fair?
Extremely accurate. I'm a huge John Waters fan, and I love the way that he does that with characters. And you really sort of, you get these ideas of like, I wanted people to be like, oh, I know that church lady. I know exactly who that is.
Right.
And, you know, it's so relatable. So without a doubt, that was a huge inspiration for me. I'm so glad that you picked up on that. And, you know, I think that the characters really are, they're zany and campy. And those are the kind of films that I really love and I gravitate toward. Mm-hmm. I'm very interested in comedy and definitely in more in the musicality of things. So without a doubt, those are where zany characters are inspired by.
So, did you come from a comedy background? Because I mean, I think, you know, that's the thing. It's, you know, a lot of people like to think that they're funny, and a lot of people like to think that they can write comedy. I don't know how to do it, but what I will tell you is it is an actual profession, and you, and Allison and Kelly in particular, the three of you seemed incredibly, incredibly comfortable with the comedy and the comedic timing. Did you guys come from a comedic background, or was there any like improv that was a part of this whole production?
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you for that. They're a dream to work with. I absolutely adore Allison and Kelly. The three of us together are very cohesive. We're very good friends outside of the films. So that really helps as well. There's a trust with each other. Right. But actually how all this began was that the three of us were in acting school together.
And where was that? If we can plug your alma mater.
Sure. So we went to Beverly Hills Playhouse together.
Okay.
And spent many years there, you know, taking acting classes, and we would do scenes. So this okay. film actually originated as a scene originally in an acting class. So I hope that inspires other filmmakers out there that you never know where that scene is going to take you.
Right.
And
right.
We worked on a play together that was a comedy. So we already had that sort of trust with each other, and we wanted to make a film, you know, with the three of us. So this was the perfect opportunity to do that, and was sort of a natural progression from the play all the way to, you know, the film. And we also, the three of us really love comedy. And I feel like we really sort of tend to go toward that, even in mm-hmm. the things that we were do all the other things that we were doing in classes and whatnot. It always seemed to be that we were gravitating toward that. And I find that, you know, those type of films are my favorite. I absolutely love comedy, but you're absolutely right. Not everybody can do it because there is an art to it. And mm-hmm. it comes with also a lot of pacing mm-hmm. and being able to nail things on it. And we really enjoyed working together and doing that. It was a lot of fun.
Yeah, because I think, yeah, I mean, it's one thing to come up with, you know, a fun or silly or irreverent construct like Easter Bloody Easter. It's a whole other thing to actually like implement it in a way that is legitimately funny. And I felt, and I don't know who I think Kelly was the primary writer. Is that right?
Or Allison.
Okay, right. Yeah. And please pass along from the Scariest Things podcast. Very, very funny stuff. Really great lines. So many of them were incredibly quotable, whether it was, you know, whether it was Mary Lou, whether it was Jeannie, whether it was Kelly's character.
Carol.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Yeah. All very, very, very funny. So speaking of, in the press materials, it says 95% female. Also incredible, also so cool to see female voices, in particular a large majority and an almost entirety of the production in that space. Very impressive. So was that the thinking all along, or did it just serendipitously happen that way based on the fact that you knew a lot of these folks previously?
So it was always intentional. You know, I started my production company, Wally Bird Productions, with that in mind, that I wanted to give more, you know, females an opportunity and people of color. And we did that, and we've been able to do it on every project in front and behind the camera. So with this in particular, originally I wanted, thank you so much. I really wanted it actually to be an all female crew. Mm-hmm. And we got very, very close. And the crazy thing is that it was actually hard to do because we were searching for the females to, you know, put together this crew and make sure that we had obviously the right crew, but also that, you know, that they were female identifying. So it was important for us because, you know, at the end of the day, this was really essentially these three women's story. And we felt that it was important to do that both in front and behind the camera. And I'm just so grateful that we did. We received the Reframe stamp from Women in Film, which is such an honor, you know, for gender parity in production. And, you know, we were really excited to have those leadership positions filled by women who don't normally get those opportunities. Right. And it was such a great set because you look around, and I had a proud moment many times where I was like, this is so cool. There's so many badass females on this set working. And I just did it. So yeah, we want to keep doing that.
Yeah. It was awesome. I think that sort of new and different and unique voice really came through very loudly and clearly. And it's so great to see that. I think it's so great to see that because Nobody wants to hear from 55-year-old white guys anymore. We've covered.
Well, you that. Had your turn. It's okay. You had your
That's
turn.
Right. That's right. That's right. That's right. So, speaking of 55-year-old white guys, I have to ask the question. So, Danzig and Veronica. I watched the video you were in. I didn't even realize that you were in that video. I got to ask. Well, just from a sort of a whore tangent perspective, what's it like working with that guy? And have you seen Death Rider in the House of Vampires, which like no one has seen?
So, excuse me. It was amazing working with Glenn. He is such a lovely human being.
I've heard
you
that.
You know, I think it's the old adage of like this rock star legendary, you know, idea of him, you know, and he's so crazy on stage and right. whatnot, you know. Biting things and blood and all that stuff. and he's so mild mannered and so sweet and very quiet almost. And the first day that I met him on set of Last Ride was he pulled up in his, you know, black Camaro, everything's black, and right. he opens the door and he says, "Get in." So I'm like, okay. So we took a ride together to the set. And what a joy, because we're both from New Jersey, right. Which was really fun. And so we kind of talked a little bit about our childhood growing up there. And he's really lovely to work with. And he really knows what he wants, which is exciting. And he's also very hands-on. He was like, "Hand me the camera and I want to do it." Right. And yeah, it was really fun to work with him. And I think he really allowed me, especially like in that video, he really allowed me to kind of bring myself to it, which, you know, was really nice. You know, he would be like, "I want you to smile. I want you to be yourself." And I was just like, okay, cool. You know, yeah. You don't really know going into a project with him what you're going to be. And then I got the opportunity to do his directorial debut, Veronica, which I was the girl who gets her face ripped off.
And your IMDb credit is the attractive girl.
Yes.
Can't beat that.
I mean, I'll take it. It was fun. I got to have red hair in that. So that was really kind of fun and unique. And that was a really cool set to be on. The prosthetics was crazy that they had to put on me. Again, working with Glenn is really great. He's a wonderful person. And, you know, I would definitely do it again. I have not seen his spaghetti Western yet. But I'm sure it's awesome knowing Glenn. He has a style to himself, and he's sort of, I think, you know, gone from now obviously legendary, you know, rock star to right. now wanting to sort of do more film. And I think that's so cool. He's finding yeah. what that, you know, is for him. So I love
it. Hopefully both of you get a star on the New Jersey Hall of Fame.
Yeah, I hope so. I would like that.
So on that note, has horror kind of all, I know you did a documentary, you've done some short films, you have your production company. Has horror always kind of been at the back of your mind, or is this sort of it doesn't sound like a new thing, but is it a new thing for you?
So I would say that no, it's definitely not a new thing. It's not okay. Specifically the genre that I was like, "Oh, I'm going to do this genre." Okay. I think, you know, the opportunity knocks and you want to take it, especially in the indie world. Mm-hmm. I had done a film many years ago called The Orphan Killer that yeah. was banned.
I watched the trailer for that. Australia. That looks terrifying.
It was wild. So a lot of people know me from that. That was sort of mm-hmm. like my first foray into kind of being recognized. Mm-hmm. And prior to that, I did the film Iowa that mm-hmm. With Rosanna Arquette and John Savage, which was also a crazy film. That was a drama, but about methamphetamine. And right. so I sort of have done a lot of these like very like heavy, crazy type of films. So I think that I was sort of ready for it. With this film in particular, though, going on the deviation of heading more toward comedy is a lot more of who I am naturally. I'm like a total nerd. I am very goofy. I am like, love, love musical theater. So, you know, it's much more about like who I am as a person going into this one. And I tell people like it very much is a comedy horror. And I want people to know that that's what they are definitely getting when they watch the film. It's not your typical horror film at all, because when you hear the title, it's like, oh, I might be scared. But I'm like, no, don't worry. Just go into it. Have a great time. Yeah. And I really, really enjoy that so much. My background in growing up, I grew up in New Jersey, right outside of Manhattan. So I was afforded the opportunity to do a lot of plays growing up. Mm. And very musically inclined. And a lot of those plays were actually comedies.
Right.
So that's really where I got my start as a child, doing a lot of comedy. So it just came very naturally to me. And it's something that just I love and I want to continue to explore.
Heck yeah. So the one question we ask all of our guests on the show, and I know this is kind of a Sophie's Choice sort of question. What is your favorite horror film? I assume it's not Night of the Lepus, but I just wanted to ask the question. What is your favorite horror film?
Oh, it's so tough because I love so many. I mean, it really is. There's so many wonderful films that I love. Yeah. I really loved, like, I remember being a kid in like kind of, I would say middle school age, because my parents were not into horror at all. So it wasn't, they weren't like, hey, the new horror movie's out, you want to watch it? Matter of fact, they really weren't interested in film whatsoever. They were more geared towards sports, and I came out tap dancing. So they were like, uh-oh, what are we going to do with her? I really love slasher films. Like, I'm a big Freddy fan. I love Nightmare on Elm Street. I love all the Jason movies. I love Halloween. So, you know, those are the type of films that I gravitate towards, because I like seeing the people who like need to be killed by these like these serial killer guys. I'm like, get him. And I'm less into like I don't really like the haunting movies. Those really scare me. I'm a big scaredy cat. I'm like blanket with the pillow. No.
Yeah, same.
So yeah, I would say any of the slasher films are my go-to for horror film, for sure.
Can't go wrong with Freddy. Cannot go wrong.
Definitely.
So, will you be coming back to the horror genre? And bonus question: what's up next for you and Wally Bird Productions?
So, I'm definitely going to come back to the genre. I've never left, so that's good. We are definitely going to make another installment. It's going to be Easter, Bloodier Easter, and we are.
Yes.
We already are in development on the script on that. We loved working together so much that it totally makes sense. You know, it's such a great group of people, and we just want to make more. You know, why not? Why fix something that ain't broke? You know, so we loved it, and I love a continuation. I love when films, you know, sequels in particular, continue on from the story of where you are. I love a continuation. So we're going to do that with the next film. We're definitely going to dive deeper into Jeannie's story. We're going to dive deeper into the legend of the Jackalope. All that stuff is going to be in there. So we're definitely working on that. I have a movie musical that I'm directing, which I'm so excited about because I'm a musical theater kid. So we're doing that. Yep. It's called SAT, the movie musical, Stupid Ass Tits. And it's about high schoolers. And I'm really excited to get into that. The music is fantastic. I'm working on it with Mark Vogel, who did all of the music on this film. He and I work incredibly well together. We just get each other. I know what I want, and he executes it. So we are just awesome together. We're going to do that. And then I have another film that is another comedy. It is a female comedy. I know. Exciting. I'm acting in that one and producing it. It's called Got Daddy Issues, and it is a la Bridesmaid style. So it's really going to be fun to get working on all those. And we're just going to keep pushing the needle forward at Wally Bird. We got, you know, a lot of great people, and you know, we just want to keep giving people opportunities that don't get them. So I'm excited to see what the future holds, for sure.
And for those who want to find Wally Bird online, where do they find Wally Bird online?
Yeah, please come say hello. I love when new people come around and they say, I saw your film, and they want to ask questions. Please do. I'm happy to answer. And I do get back to everybody. So come visit us at WallyBirdProductions.com. You can also check out at WallyBird on Instagram. You can also check out YouTube at WallyBird Productions. And then please come say hello to me. I'm at Diane Foster Official on Instagram and Facebook. And I love hearing from you. It's really a joy. And, you know, please come say hi.
Awesome. Awesome. I personally cannot wait for Easter. Bloodier.
You're good, because that's going to be the third one.
Done.
Look at you. You already know.
Don't even have to pay me. Don't have to pay me a cent. You may have to pay. To pay Ozzy and Black Sabbath and Sharon, but that's they can figure. They can figure that out. They can figure that out.
They've got enough.
That's right. That's right. All right, Diane. I know you are super busy with the premiere of Easter Bloody Easter this week. So congratulations again. Very funny movie. I would encourage folks to check it out. Check my review out at thescariestthings.com, 1T. Best of luck on all your future endeavors. And hopefully we can have you back on once the sequel comes out.
Yeah, I would love that. Thank you so much for the great questions and having me today. It was a lot of fun.
All right. Thank you again.